Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Danny?
Yes.
Leah?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
All right, next order of business is the consent agenda. Everybody had a chance to look at the consent at the minutes of the October 9th and November 9th. Any corrections or where if you need?
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second. Put a motion and a second. Call for the question, please.
Alan?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Rhea?
Yes.
Reports, Paul. Our finance officer left today on her vacation. Do you want to touch on that?
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. In your packet is our usual paperwork on revenues from our finance department. On the first page is, of course, an important one. It shows our tax collections, both raw fish tax and sales tax for the fiscal year, which began July the 1st. So we have 4 months' worth of data here. This is through October. It's usually a month. There's usually a month lag in the numbers. As you can see, raw fish tax revenues are off approximately 40% from what they were last year. If you go back through the last 5 years, some of the months are higher, some of the months are lower. But as we know, this last summer was not a real high fishing year, so our fish taxes are down. The good news is sales tax, as compared to last year, is higher. So between the two, raw fish tax is down a little bit, and our sales tax revenue is higher. On the next page, our bank balance is, and as I explained in the work session, for the first time since I've been here, which is 15 years, our bank balance is now above $3.5 million. We have $3.3 million in our AMLIC, or our savings account. What AMLIC stands for is the Alaska Municipal League Investment Pool. We put rather than putting our money in a savings account in the bank, we put it in the Alaska Municipal League Investment Pool, AMLIP, which most other cities in the state also use. And these AMLIP invests our money. It's very liquid. We can transfer money in or out of that account quite easily. But it does get a little bit of interest on our account, so that's why it's in there. But our bank balances look robust at this, pretty good this time for the, like I said, the best bank balance I've seen in a long time. I won't go into the detail of all the other budgets, but as we talked about at the work session, if you put a little bit of effort in this, Krista has provided both departmental numbers and sub-departmental numbers in the budget. So if you want to see exactly what the police or the fire or the animal control, public works, the harbor, administration, legislation, you can find the pages that correspond to your interest. And at all times, of course, if you do have questions about the budget or where this number came from or what's that big expense, a call to either Krista or the mayor or myself, we should be able to get you a pretty simple answer. And the last thing on this, I'm going to ask Krista from now on to label these pages. It makes it a lot simpler if the top of the page said police department. That way you wouldn't have to try to fumble around with these codes. That's our finance report. If there's any questions, I can try. Oh, and also at the end of the financial report is our check detail register. I think that's a real good thing for the city council to look at and review. It shows every check that the city has cut since the last report, both large checks to, say, electrical company or fuel bills, down to individual stipend checks to people. It's what we pay folks. So. It's a good accounting of how much, how many checks we write and where the money goes. So that's the financial report, unless you have questions.
Does anybody have any questions for Paul? Okay, thank you, Paul. Hearing none, the administrator's report.
Thank you. I'll continue with my written report. I'll be brief. The first part of my report is the status of our current ongoing projects, and of course the largest project on the horizon. Luckily, we no longer talk about the School Loop Road. That is one that's behind us, and we're thankful about that. Our biggest project on the horizon is, of course, the rehabilitation of the Robert E. Galvin Small Boat Harbor. And as all of you know, we have been striving to get this harbor refurbished, rebuilt for a number of years. Mooney's kind of led the charge in bringing up the issues that are down there. We had a design, or we had a study done, now it was back in 2007, I believe. It's been that long ago. The condition of the harbor, and it's taking us this long to find the funding to get the harbor rebuilt. But long story short, the state of Alaska has given us $5 million. We have, the borough, the Aleutians East Borough, has thrown $2 million into the kitty, and the city of Sandpoint is going to bond for the first time ever. We're going to have a $3 million bond, which that will total of $10 million available for the construction, the reconstruction of the small boat harbor. URS, which is a company, it's a nationwide company, but they have offices in Anchorage. They were selected to do the design on the small boat harbor, and the mayor, along with Mooney at the harbor and a few other folks in town, are the design committee members. They are the ones working with URS to come up with the design. The design is 35% complete, and we expect to have the design 95% complete here at the end of this month. Those who are interested in looking at what the harbor is, what the design is, the changes that are going to be made, there are copies of the design down at the boat harbor, down at the harbor house, and also the mayor has a copy in his office. So if you're interested, you can certainly stop by and look at those. The game plan is the design is going to be completed at the end of this year, first part of January. We're actually going to try to bid this project in February. That will take about 2 months by the time we bid it. The bids come back, we score them. And when I say we, URS is also the company that will help us score the bids, and we actually select a contractor to build the harbor. Once a contractor is selected, and that may happen as early as April or May, again, I'm trying to be fast-track. This may sound like it takes forever, but in reality, that's pretty fast-track for all the work that has to be done. A contractor would be selected. At that point, the contractor then has to go out and have floats built per the specifications in the design. These floats are not just sitting on a lot in Seattle or Anchorage. They actually have to be specifically built. And normally it takes 3 to 4 months to build these types of floats. So even if we have a contractor on board in May, we may not have floats available to install until early fall, September, October maybe. So once the floats are built and the contractor brings the floats and all the piling and all the equipment, hopefully they can get up here. And I don't think the hard part is getting everything mobile and up here. I think they would actually be able to do this project in a month to 6 weeks' time is what I've been told. It's not going to take them forever to drive the piling and install these floats. I'd like to see this project done this next calendar year, 2013. I would not be surprised if this construction project goes into the summer of 2014, but I hope not. We're trying to get the bid out early in 2013, a contractor hired, and the project completed by the end of 2013. So a year from now, I'd like to see our new boat harbor refurbished and we'll be using it. Paving projects, the city of Sandpoint received the one that just ended, the School Loop Road project. We received $1 million grant from the state of Alaska to help do that project. That money had to be matched dollar for dollar, and over the last 4 or 5 years, we've been matching that with gravel purchases and equipment and time and effort. We've just received reimbursement from the state for $800,000 of the $1 million grant. That's one of the reasons why our bank account looks as robust as it does, is we've had an $800,000 infusion from that grant money. We still have about $186,000 left in that grant for paving projects. That grant, we've had it so long that it expires June 30th of next year. And one of our tasks will be to have our lobbyist, Mark Hickey, help us work with the legislators down in Juneau to get that extended. I don't think it's a big deal to get it extended. It just takes effort. Get that $186,000 extended for a year so we don't lose, you know, availability to spend that money. And then lastly, on current projects, the state, during the last statewide election, I don't know if you remember, if you voted during the statewide election, there was a very large bond appropriation package that the citizens of Alaska were asked to vote on bonds. And I think it was about a $200 million bond package. A lot of that money went to the harbor in Anchorage and other very large capital projects around the state. But in that specific bond package, the city of Sand Point was in the mill for $2.5 million. Fortunately, the bond passed, so we are in line to receive a $2.5 million shot of money from the state. That money will go to repave or rebuild the Sand Point Road. That's the road from the airport back into town, at least to the Boat Harbor Road, and hopefully clear around the post office and further. $2.5 million is not, with the cost of what the School Loop Road cost us, you know, that was about a $6 million project when all was said and done. So you can imagine what $2.5 million will buy us from the airport in the town. The state has asked me to guesstimate when we would need this $2.5 million. And as I said in the work session earlier this afternoon, I am going to tell the state that we do not intend to access this paving money until 2014. In other words, we are not going to attempt to try to pave Sand Point Road next summer for a couple of reasons. One, we have a large harbor project that's going to be overwhelming our resources to get that completed. And two, I don't think $2.5 million is enough money to do what we're going to need to do with the Sand Point Road. So if I put this project off for a year, it puts another large project on our plate for the summer after next, and it gives us the opportunity to try to chase more money down from Juneau or the Denali Commission or wherever else we can find money. If we can't find any other money except the $2.5 million, we'll do what we can do with that money. We might do a section of the Sand Point Road. We might just take up the blacktop and lay a new layer of blacktop and live with that. Certainly would have to get an engineering design of what's the best method, but that we will not be doing any paving next summer with this money. Quickly finishing my report, Silver Bay Seafoods, that's on the agenda. I'm not going to spend time talking about Silver Bay Seafoods right now. One of the things I do say in my report, if you want to see a very interesting short blurb about Silver Bay, Google Deck Boss, and fishermen are aware of this. Deck Boss is a guy who's a blogger that talks about local fishery issues in Alaska, and he's got an interesting two paragraphs about Silver Bay and what Silver Bay plans to do up in Bristol Bay, and it kind of sheds the light on. They're very excited about what Silver Bay may be doing up there. So again, it's Deck Boss is the Google site. Moving from fisheries to TDX, as everyone locally is aware, a lot of electrical bills shot through the roof a few months back. In some instances, electric bills doubled and more. That was brought to our attention by various businesses. Certainly a number of citizens wondered what's going on and what can the city do to help find out, get to the bottom of these bills. We've got our city attorney, Brooks Chandler, has written about a 10-page letter to the RCA, the Regulatory Commission of Alaska. Those are the folks that deal with they're the ones who allow rates to go up or go down. TDX cannot raise rates unless they get approval from the RCA. We are going to the RCA saying, what's the deal here? How in the world can TDX double our rates in 1 month? And they, you know, they did double. I saw some bills that rates actually doubled. We're not sure of the reason. We think one of the reasons may be the taxation that TDX has failed to pay for a number of years. I mean, they may be trying to recapture that in a one fell swoop. I don't want to speculate. We're not sure why they were allowed to do it. But all I can say is when I contacted the RCA and then Brooks followed up with letters, the RCA regulatory guys were very interested in why TDX's rates were approved. We sent them this letter. It's been 6 weeks, and I would imagine it's going to be another 6 weeks before we hear from them. Their wheels turn very slowly there. But we are trying to get to the bottom of why rates escalated as high as they did. And I understand they've piddled back down a little bit, but still rates are high. But for that 1 month or that 2 month period, rates were extremely high. And we're trying to figure out why. So we are trying to fight that fight. And then lastly, in my report, I'm talking about our budget amendment. That's an agenda item, and we'll talk about specifically when we get to that. That's all I have.
Thanks, Paul. Any questions for Paul? Okay. Hearing none. Chief?
We're moving to become full staff. We have a new officer arriving on a trial basis during the month of December and January. He should be here on Thursday. Mike Livingston will be welcomed back on Friday, recovering one of these days. Hopefully back to full service soon. We'll lose myself on Saturday. So two up, one down. It's a net gain. We're doing good. We're busy, actively out. We have some big cases going on, probably people have heard of. So we're busy following those up. The fire department has been pretty active on a regular schedule, both with training and daily tasks over the fire hall. It's nice to see them in big region and being busy. To the mayor, we've decided to hire Trenty Dushkin as the animal control officer. So, looking forward to having some of the dog issues that I can just start to see ballooning taken care of before they become too much of a problem. The EMS unit is been fairly busy, but well managed, and they don't require much time of me. That's very nice. I did go down and meet the physician oversight while she was here, Dr. Cotton, this past couple weeks, and a nice conversation about how we dovetail with their organization and AMS and what have you, and they're strong supporters of our AMS and think highly of them, so that was very nice to hear. So lots going on, but all positive.
Okay, thanks, Chief. As you can see in this report, there's the activities and all the things that have been happening in the police department as in the police department public safety report. Dave, Public Works Director. Dave?
We've been busy. Due to the cold weather, we've pretty much been doing heavy equipment maintenance, rebuilding, making brakes work on equipment, and working on our excavator up the landfill. We had a harmonic balancer come apart, which took out a timing chain cover on a John Deere motor. So, we're finished, completed, just waiting for the paperwork on our waste oil barrels that we've been dealing with for years. The three major contaminated barrels are now in Seattle and being dealt with. We should have the final paperwork here in the next week or so from Emerald, hopefully, and submit everything to DEC, and we'll be done with that project. And it was way cheaper than we anticipated, so we're really happy about that. We've done a bunch of work for local people, hauling dirt. We haul dirt for housing authorities. We haul dirt for Trident Seafoods. We finished the sewer main for Trident's new bunkhouse. Dennis got certified. We have a tech, water tech, sewer tech now. It's totally certified for the city. We placed a couple motors up at our pump house at the school for a pressurized system. I told Danny those guys have kind of got noise in one of our brand new motors, so we might be taking it back down and sending it out. Dealing with frozen water lines, broken lines. We've got a broken 2-inch water line in the middle of the road of our brand new asphalt at our apartment building, so we'll be cutting across the road tomorrow. But we're doing good. We're real busy. And I'll be leaving on Friday for 19 days.
Any questions for Dave Thomas, Council?
This might be a good time to point out, we talked about it at the City Council meeting, our Public Works guys, one of the tasks they do is they haul fuel for all city-owned buildings. We haul our own fuel. We save a few dollars. We buy it directly from Trident, haul it, and fill our tanks up. One of the things we've been doing to help out at the clinic is we've been hauling the fuel up to the clinic. The city has not done a good job at following up with the bills. There's been some instances where our logs do not match the bills. Not a big deal, not a big amount of money, but just enough of a headache that in speaking with the mayor, we decided, and there's two reasons, but we decided we are not going to haul fuel for the clinic anymore. And two reasons. One is we don't do a good job of billing. And the second reason, which is even more important, there are companies in town or individuals in town that do that for a living. They have businesses that haul fuel, and the city should, at every opportunity, not infringe upon the private sector. If somebody does it locally, provides that service locally, it'd be just like if there was a backhoe operator in town doing sewer services for people. The city should not be in the sewer service business. We do that because we're the only game in town, but we are not the only game in town for fuel delivery. So for that reason, because we don't really administratively, it's a pain, we're going to let Karen know that she's already somewhat aware that we just filled the fuel, the clinic up today, you said, Dave.
Yeah, we put 1,000 gallons.
So it's not like we're cutting them short tomorrow. They got plenty of fuel, but henceforth the clinic's going to go through another vendor to get their fuel.
And I might like to follow up on a couple of comments. Art has been replacing the streetlights and fixing the streetlights going around town, and he's been helping us out a lot there. And also want to congratulate Dennis passing this test. We now have a certified operator, board of certified in all four fields, so that's a plus to Sand Point. Any questions? Okay, Mooney, Harbor Master.
Thank you. Good evening. I missed the last October's meeting. Welcome the new people aboard to the city council. And people like rehired, I hire you.
We'll take that.
Anyway, my report is really, it's fast. We've just been busy doing harbor stuff, I guess. Freeport's been at a standstill. But we did get two more cameras up and running down at the harbor. Brings the total to 8 so far. We're waiting on material to get another camera up and running. We'll bring it up to 9. I ordered a couple of outdoor cameras so we can stash them in different places for watching you. And the gate has been built and installed, so the city dock is no longer a public parking place or a meeting spot or what have you. It's taking a lot of traffic off the harbor, which is good. And Paul touched on URS. We were supposed to get a inspection on the travel lift, 150 travel lift, in just before Thanksgiving, but the weather got sour and the guy couldn't make it out here, so he went back to Wisconsin and planning on being out in April or May. So that's a good thing. The weather is better. We did manage to ship out about 16,000 pounds of used batteries, boat batteries, car batteries, just batteries in general. And it's going good. As you know, Pioneer takes their contribution to the environment. They take our used batteries down for free, and that's good. It's a big plus. And the first week in January, the Coast Guard should be here for courtesy inspections on the vessels, mainly because of the observer program that's going into effect next year. It sounds to me like just about every boat in the harbor is going to have an observer somewhere along the line. So, but the Coast Guard inspections, and there is paperwork down at the harbor that you could gather up for a pre-inspection, just a checklist to see what might be needed on the boat. And that's about all I have. Thank you.
Any questions for Mooney?
Thank you, Mooney.
Thanks.
Okay, hearings, ordinances, and resolutions. We've got ordinance 2012-04, amending the operating budget for FY 2013. Need a motion to get it on the floor to move on to the second reading. Is there a motion?
Motion. I'll move to put ordinance 2404 on hold until the motion, amending the operating budget for FY 2013.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion and a second. Paul, you want to?
Just a short discussion. We do, as everyone knows, the city puts together our budget every, we start putting it together in late April, 1st of May. It has to be done by ordinance, so our budget is prepared in early spring. It's actually passed by the city council before the end of the fiscal year, so it's usually passed in June. So this, the budget that we are currently working on is our best guess efforts from experience and what we spent last year in certain areas, and we try to do the best job we can. We do a pretty good job of putting the budget together, but there are always instances where we spend more money than we had planned. A good example is we did not plan to redo the front of City Hall this year, and yet we did. We had to. It was a good expense of money, but that money was not originally in the initial budget. Some other issues, some travel costs or hospitality costs. I don't know what the example is I used at the work session. But long story short, somewhere during the year, we have to amend our budget to bring our best guess of the original budget and more in line with what we've done. We have to add money in certain categories. We have to take money. Maybe we put a lot of money in equipment in the public works department, and they're not spending that much money. We would reduce that budget and make it more in line with reality. All this amendment is doing is amending our budget to try to bring what we guessed back in June and July, May and June, try to make it more in line with reality. This is the first reading of this budget. It's simply something to put it on the bulletin board for the next 30 days. The citizens concerned look at the budget if they have questions. The city council can look at the budget and how we're amending it if they have questions. And it will actually be acted upon and passed at in the January meeting. So this is just the first reading of the budget, of the amended budget.
Thank you, Paul. Any other comments? Question for that?
Yeah.
Yes, we need a question. Yeah, answer to the question.
Yeah, there are questions on that?
Nothing. Okay.
Pretty straightforward.
Okay. All right. Resolution 12-06 shared.
You should, we should vote on.
Oh, that's what I said.
Right.
You need to vote.
We need to vote on. Call for the question.
Shirley?
This is just for first reading, Shirley.
Just for that first reading, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Danny?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Maria?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Okay, resolution 12-06 shared fisheries tax. Paul, you want to?
Yes, the third, the shared fisheries business tax, say that fast. What happens is the state of Alaska collects fish taxes from areas around the Aleutians East Borough and part of the Lake and Penn Borough, and they collect it on behalf of the communities in our area. They then reallocate that money. They withhold most of it, but some of that shared fisheries tax is shared back with the communities. That's why it's called shared fisheries. This resolution is the exact same wording we've been doing for the last 12 years, so it's not anything new. We could actually put this resolution as a, you know, in the consent agenda. But all we're asking the council to do is to approve the same distribution of the shared fisheries business tax that we've done for the last 12 years. We have agreed with the other communities, which is the other communities in the borough, and one community, it's not even a community, it's 100 people in the Lake and Penn borough. It says mutually agreed upon population count for the Lake and Penn of 100 people. It's very specific of how they're allocating this money, but all the communities have to agree to this allocation method. And so every community has to pass this exact same ordinance. The state will then take these ordinances from our area, say, okay, everybody agrees. They'll take the pie and carve it up based on this allocation method. Last year was about $300,000, so it's not small chunk change for the city. It's a pretty good chunk of money. So
okay.
I would recommend we just pass this resolution. I would then fill out some forms and send it off to the state and wait for our check.
For a motion?
I'll make a motion to pass resolution 1206.
I'll second.
Question? Denise, question?
Okay. Shirley?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Briette?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Okay, old business, Silver Bay Seafoods lease. Paul?
Paul, they sure tonight. Silver Bay lease, we've been talking about Silver Bay Seafood has made an overture to the city. It's been about 3 months ago. They know we have a nice new harbor, a nice piece of upland that's not being occupied. They approached the city saying, what are you guys' intentions for that property? We said, we've been trying to lease it. We've been trying to encourage other businesses, certainly down there, another fish processor or fish-related business to come to Sandpoint. As everyone remembers, we waltzed around the snowpack for over 2 years, almost 3 years, trying to get Snowpack to bring their business to Sandpoint. And they did some good things. Snowpack brought the innovator in here. They helped us build a second gear shed. But at the end of the day, Snowpack's finances were not in shape needed to put a processor in Sandpoint. Silver Bay comes along and says, we'd like to rent that property, lease that property from you. So we have drafted a lease along with Silver Bay. It's bounced back and forth between our city attorney and their attorneys a number of times. And let me just touch on the highlights of this lease. Silver Bay wants to lease approximately 55,000 square feet down at the new harbor, which is pretty much the harbor area at the new harbor. Northland has an area there where they lease container vans. We are going to continue with leasing them that property or similar property. But Silver Bay would like 55,000 square feet. The lease requires Silver Bay to do a survey of that property. And after the survey is completed, and we would enhance the survey. Silver Bay only wants to survey the property there they intend to lease. We would work with the surveying company to have them actually survey the entire harbor area down there and divide it into X number of lease lots. So one of the things the city will get out of this initial process is we will get that entire harbor surveyed and lots designated so we can go back out and lease lots to Northland or others. For the 55,000 square feet, the city is proposing that this is a five-year agreement with five extension terms. So the initial term is 5 years with five extensions, so that's a total of 30-year lease if they extended it for 5 years each time. 30-year lease. The first 5 years, the city is proposing that we would lease that property for $1 a year. We've had discussions why $1 a year, and that's one of the incentives the city feels we should put up there to entice Silver Bay to come into the community. It's a standard, everything's negotiable, but it's not an uncommon thing to do, to offer a piece of property at a low rate to entice someone to come in and spend money. After the fifth year, beginning the sixth year, Silver Bay would pay a lease cost to the city of $50,000 a year for that beginning the sixth year. $50,000 a year lease, plus all taxes and other fish tax and other things that are collected, but $50,000 just for the lease itself. And then the lease, the area would be, every year the lease amount would be adjusted based on the cost of living. The lease is very specific on how the lease rates would be adjusted. Some other catches to this lease is if Silver Bay, after 2 years, after 24 months, if they haven't shown that they have spent at least $1 million trying to develop this property. In other words, if they take this property and say, in 24 months from now, they say, nah, it's not a good deal for us. They have two options. They can either terminate the lease and we both walk away, shake hands, thank you very much, we tried. Or they can continue to hold the lease after 24 months and begin paying the $50,000 a year lease costs. So Silver Bay is on the hook by signing this lease, by us agreeing to it and them signing the lease. They have 24 months to start putting their money where their mouth is. Some things the city are required to do in this lease. Two major things the city is required to do if we agree to this lease. One is to provide water to that property, potable water. That's a no-brainer because, as I explained in the work session this afternoon, the city has already received money from the borough, $80,000. Dave's well aware of this. We have already purchased the water, the lines. The design has been done. The only thing that hasn't been done is the city has not fulfilled their end of the bargain with the borough to dig the trench and hook the water line up to the new site. So water is a no-brainer. Something we're going to do if Silver Bay doesn't. Comes or doesn't come, water's going into the new harbor. Has to. The other thing we have to provide is sewer. That's a little bigger deal. We don't have any sewage system down at the new harbor. And it was said at the work session, I think Jack said at the work session, that to develop that harbor with Silver Bay coming or not, it's developing property if we run sewer down there. People have said, why don't we have another restroom or facilities down at the new harbor closer to the city dock? You know, the only one is at the harbor house. So there's reasons to put a sewage system down there, whether Silver Bay comes or not. The question come up, well, what about the cost to the city? That's going to be expensive, and it will be. Putting a sewage system, extending our sewage system at the new harbor, there's a number of ways to do it. It will definitely be engineered. It's not going to be something we do over a cocktail napkin at night. I mean, an engineering firm will be hired to design our sewer system. One idea was to run another outfall line. That's probably not a good idea if they're going to use raw seawater from the same area that an outfall line is going out. That doesn't make sense. Another idea is to another lift station and run it back to our current sewage system. There's a lot of ways to skin that cat. I'm of the opinion that even if we give Silver Bay the green light tonight, we're not really going to see any push on the city to come up with any kind of a sewer system for 2 years or 3 years. I don't think Silver Bay is going to come in here next summer and start building a processing plant. There's too many issues that they have to wrestle with. There's an outfall line. There's nothing in this lease agreement talking about an outfall line, but they're going to need some kind of an outfall line for their plant. Fuel to their plant is a big issue. You know, Triton Colts is the fuel provider in town. Can Silver Bay work out a deal with Triton? Or is Silver Bay going to build their own fuel tanks? Or, you know, there's lots to do with fuel. Power. Is Silver Bay, is TDX, I would assume TDX has plenty of power to offer Silver Bay. Or is Silver Bay going to build their own generators like Triton has done? There's a lot to do on Silver Bay's plate before they come to the city and say, where's our running water and our flush toilets? I mean, that's kind of down, that's way down their list of priorities. So I don't envision the city spending hardly any money on this project for the next 24 months. Now, as I said in my previous, report, Deck Boss has an interesting comment about the Silver Bay process. Silver Bay has just purchased 8 acres of property up in Bristol Bay, up in Dillingham, and they would like to open a plant up there. Silver Bay is strictly a salmon fishery. They have a plant in Craig. I've talked to the officials down in Craig, and they said Silver Bay revitalized the fishery in their community. Craig was a little different from Sandpoint. Craig's fishery had gone elsewhere because there was no cannery in Craig. Silver Bay come in, put a cannery there, and attracted the fleet back to Craig, and they're very happy. Silver Bay also has a cannery in Sitka. And is that the only two?
Valdez.
And Valdez. They want to spread their, they're trying to come around the horn. They want to put another cannery, a salmon cannery, in Dillingham. The reason that Sandpoint is so attractive to them is this would be their first foray into other species of seafood besides salmon. Pollock cod, whatever, halibut, whatever else they can. And it's a year-round fishery. So it's a whole new thing for them. Well, I don't know what else I can say about the lease. I think it's in the city's, I think it's in the community's best interest to entice businesses to come in. Triton has been a wonderful, Triton is the heartbeat of this community. But a second heartbeat or a second competitor, maybe fish prices are a little more stable, or maybe fish prices rise. There's other options for fishermen. But it's not a done deal. I think giving Silver Bay a lease, I think, is still a 60-40 shot that they're even going to come into town. But there are timelines that they have to fulfill or they lose their lease. So, having any questions on what we're trying to do?
Well, I would like to add a couple of comments to what you said, just for the public to know that the property that is proposed is still is the front dock usage of that property is city
yes.
property. It's owned by the city of Sandpoint. It's for all fishermen to use. So that's one thing that we need to understand if this lease goes through. And that as far as starting our expense of putting water and sewer to that property, it's going to be a two-year project for them to get this thing up and running, and it's going to, we have a lot of time for us to research ours, get our projects in line if they do come on. We're really not going to do nothing there until Silver Bay actually comes in and starts building. And it will be, Dave said he's got the water. We'll probably try to get water down to the new harbor, the sewer. I've had Dave give me an estimate and cost to different scenarios for putting sewer into the harbor and how can we route that back into our system. So he's pretty much filled me in on exactly some numbers and how else we could do it. So just for public information. Rhea?
So in the next 2 years, if this is approved, are you going to be looking for monies to help with the water and the sewer, you know, instead of waiting for 2 years?
Absolutely. Yes. You know, I said at the work session when Snowpack came to town, ADA, the Alaska Industrial Development Authority, they loan money and also have grants for infrastructure. This is exactly what they look to do. Silver Bay is not even going there. They don't want, you know, Snowpack was looking at any other funding sources they could look at. Silver Bay is like, yeah, that's, you guys deal with that. So that is certainly an entity. We could go to the community development block grant people and say, this is an economic development issue. We need $500,000 to put a sewer system. And there's options out there. Like I said, I don't think they're going to come here imminently. I mean, immediately. But they may look at their options and say, okay, here's the pros and cons of going up into Bristol Bay, and here's the pros and cons of going down to Sandpoint. And they might, in their corporate boardroom, say, let's put all our eggs in Sandpoint. We're going to start pushing that heavy. Even if they said we're coming, they're going to start designing, and it's still going to take them a couple of years to get it together. You know, these things do not happen overnight. And let me say two other things. Martin, the mayor is absolutely correct. We are not leasing them the dock. That is a public-owned dock. Any fisherman can pull into that dock and use that dock. It'll be Mooney's job to be the policeman down there and move boats along. Of course, that dock will be heavily used by Silver Bay fleet because that's right where the plant is, but it's not solely for Silver Bay. The other thing I think we should be aware of, and I didn't mention it at the work session, if we approve this, I think we're going to get a lot of notoriety. I mean, when was the last time the borough, there's been any talk of a, you know, of a fish processor being coming into this borough, coming into this region? It's been a long time. I would doubt we get some publicity. And it's not a secret. I mean, it's being brought. This is not, we're not hiding the ball. Some people are going to call the Silver Bay folks, I'm sure, and say, Sandpoint's just, you know, you're working out a deal with Sandpoint. What's going on? You're going to see some news about Sandpoint in Silver Bay, and I think that's good. I think that kind of publicity that the community is looking for, for other industry to come to Sandpoint, I think is good. I think we should be prepared for that. It's going to generate publicity for the community. You know, and when they call me, I say, talk to the mayor. You know, Mr. Zawanich and Silver Bay, they can speak for themselves what their plans are. This is just giving them the green light to do what they think they can do out here. And I really don't see a downside.
And also in our conversation during the workshop, the question was brought up that they're talking to certain types of gear groups, which they really weren't. We talked with Rob before at the meeting that we had, and he said he's interested in all products from all types of fisheries. He wasn't just interested in, I mean, like the setting up fleet, the chickpea. They're here to buy product. He said there's no difference in who's going to be selling to them. He's not being selective. He'd like to get the product if they do come in. And then talking in the workshop earlier today, Glenn was here. Dave, we talked a little bit about it. There's other entities in town that were talking about working a road system. You know, as well as talking with your folks that they're trying to come together with a project that's also going to help the city get some road work done all the way down to the harbor. So there, we're already working on that. So hopefully we can get all this stuff in order by the time they do come over and try and develop that harbor and make that new boat harbor a reality. Any other questions for Shirley?
When they were here meeting Silver Bay are online that time, they talked about fuel, didn't they? They talked about maybe having a barge or some kind of...
Fuel's an issue. When we were in Seattle last week, we met with some fuel providers and got some education on fuel in this community. Right up front, they said, can a community of 1,000 people support two tank farms? And maybe not. No, maybe not. On the other hand, the profit gained by having a second tank farm might be nil or not a high profit margin. But if that encourages other industry to come to town, you know, that's an intangible you can't really weigh. Now, I am, and I think I've been pretty upfront, I'm keeping the city at arm's length with fuel farms. One, it's a major pain in the butt, and it's also something that should be done by the private sector. And the Schumann Corporation, Glenn is the president, they're well aware of that. I think there's some real opportunity for them to go out and try to find some money. And I'm not talking a huge, maybe just a second boutique-style small tank farm. I think environmentally it makes sense to move, if nothing else, move the gas pumps that we go get our gas off the dock and move that onto dry land. I think it's environmentally that's an issue. It's going to, you know, potentially there's potential problems there. But the Alley Corporation runs Frosty Fuel. If the corporation wanted to get in, you know, get into an agreement with them, it may not work. It may not pencil out. I'm not an economist. They may say there's no way it can work. Well, that's just another hurdle that Silver Bay is going to have to overcome. Maybe they're going to have to build their own, put up a couple of 25,000-gallon fuel tanks. And that's not easy. I mean, I make it sound like they're just going to build a couple of fuel tanks. To do something like that at the harbor is a huge permitting task. You know, EPA and DEC require all kinds of effort to do this. And not only that, if we build a tank farm, that doesn't happen overnight. It's a huge permitting issue. But that's not something I'm asking the city to even consider. I think that's something the private sector should roll up their sleeves and you know, if it works, it works. If it pencils out, it pencils out. If it doesn't, then Silver Bay, you and Triton are going to have to work out a fuel agreement or do something else. That's not something I lose sleep over.
Right. And I think as far from the city's perspective, the city's main goal is to, if we can get this lease agreement with Silver Bay, then those other pieces will fall in place. It's just getting the initial project started.
And you did say that we've already had funding for the water lines and that materials have already been purchased.
I have a memo from Sharon Boyette, who's a borough administrator, back in May of 2011. I have a copy right here, Sherry. And in that memo, I thanked her for the $81,000 that she had reimbursed the city. We bought the pipe. This was back before Dave was here. But we bought the water pipe, and URS did the design of how the water line is supposed to hook up. So the design is there, the elevation where to dig the trench. We paid for that. The borough reimbursed us $81,000. My memo to Sharon was, thanks for the money. Now it's our responsibility to bury the water line, and we have yet to do that. So at some point, the borough could come and say, hey, you take our money, you don't follow through on your end. And it's been on Glenn's and Martin's whiteboard for 2 years, water line to the New Boat Harbor.
Okay. Still in the corner up there.
You can do it.
Right, there you go.
It's only 1,000 feet.
Yeah, it's kind of an easy one.
Jeff?
I guess I had a question. How long do you think it would take to get the design work done on the sewer?
Maybe, well, it depends on how much money you want to pay somebody, but I think a reasonable fee in term would be 6 months, tops.
Because I don't think we'd want to start one without following the other. I mean, I know there's a way to run them in tandem. I don't know if that's possible with the depth that we have, but I mean, it's something we probably want to both consider both.
We would just hire a firm that does sewer projects in the boat harbors and say, here's what we've got. Give us the best way to proceed.
Right, and I think, Jack, that's a good question because we did talk about it, and I talked with Dave several times about what size we'd be using, how much traffic we'd have, how much would impact our system, and Dave and I got together and we talked about different types of scenarios, 4-inch forced main, 6-inch forced main, lift station here, and basically that's what we have to accomplish is how would we put this system in to fit the demand. And that basically would happen, like you said, it wouldn't be happening quickly, but it's something that we have to provide when the harbor gets developed. I know Paul's here and Billy was here earlier today, but at their last meeting in Anchorage, we were at the Borough Assembly meeting, and they did talk about getting floats and the design going for our new harbor. So that's something that's going to be coming down the pike, and maybe in a couple of years we'll have that taking place. So we need to provide that service down into that harbor.
The sewer is kind of a chicken and egg thing. We don't know how much usage there's going to be for a sewer line until Silver Bay decides if they're going to build bunkhouses at the harbor. Mm-hmm. They've talked to the corporation about putting bunkhouses somewhere else and running a bus or, you know, if we put their plant where they want it to go, there's not a lot of, that harbor is pretty tight. There's not a lot of extra ground down there, especially if they want to build a bunkhouse. We're trying to encourage them to work with the corporation and find a piece of property somewhere else. So maybe we can't design a sewer system until we can say that that's only going to be for their plant, you know, their offices and, you know, a few apartments above the building, or is that going to be for their offices in a bunkhouse? You know, Silver Bay's got to give us some information before we can design it. Uh-huh. We can say we want to put a restrooms down at the new boat harbor, you know, that's an easy one, but how much is Silver Bay, what are they going to impact our sewer system? And it may be less than we think. If they build their bunkhouses somewhere else, say they put their bunkhouses up on the corner of the road, the harbor road there where all the crab pots are, and they work out a deal with the corporation and build bunkhouses up there or wherever, you know, pick a spot. That's a whole different thing about the water and sewer. So.
No, I just put that out because it would make more sense to dig one ditch if you could. Yeah. I'm sure Dave would agree with them. You know, I don't know if you can. I mean, but years ago you could put two things in the same ditch, hole, right? No. But that's just...
You got to be 10 feet apart.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Your separation's got to be still easier to dig one hole than two sometimes. So something to think about. That's all I just throw out. That's all. I'm done. Thank you.
Any other comments?
I have something.
PJ. Oh, Moon?
Yes. I'm sorry I left the meeting early today. I don't know, but I hope you guys caught this on number 15 on your lease agreement. It says change of control. And down at the bottom on the read, it says paragraphs 16B and 16C. Well, there isn't a 16A, B, or C. It's all 15. It's a typo, I know.
Let me respond to that. When I was eating my pizza this evening, Arlene Gunderson came in and she had gone through this document with a fine-tooth comb, and she caught that and three or four other typos, right, where we refer to a paragraph that has been changed or omitted, very minor, but you're absolutely right. She caught that. In a couple of places, this lease mentions fish processing. She said, why not call it seafood processing? And I said, you're absolutely right. They're going to do more than, there is a difference between fish and seafood. So, she picked up on what you just mentioned, Mooney, and probably a half dozen other very minor typos, and that's all they are. They just refer, when you try to trace it back to where it was, well, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. And it's because paragraphs have been changed, but those are minor, those are what I call clerical changes.
And it goes back to a workshop in our conversation about if this lease agreement is passed, that's going to give direction to the administrator to fix these minor things, anything that's major.
Minor changes to this,
yeah, the minor changes like that.
I'm not going to change the square footage. I'm not going to change the 50,000. I'm not going to change the 2-year. I'm not going to change the water and sewer. But minor changes that our attorney says are minor, I'd like the authority to make those changes that don't impact. Which,
yeah, well, it's my understanding that it's going to go back to our attorney.
It will.
Yes. More than less. This isn't the final draft.
No.
This is just to get the ball.
This is just to get the lease agreement.
Thank you.
PJ.
Yeah, I had one comment just along the lines of salmon production. It's going to be, as some of you know, Board of Fish meetings, February 26, 2013. I was just wondering if there's anything, I mean, there's a lot of proposals on the table that could really impact this area. I'm just wondering if there's anything you guys might do in order to get more people out there, more people involved. Even like a committee to go through that WASIP report with the fine-tooth comb and just kind of, you know, hit it from every angle of, you know, where fish are going, because they're going to hammer us, and salmon production might go down if they try to put in chum cap or the 8.3 Bristol Bay percent.
That's a good question, PJ. We did talk about that, and as earlier you and I talked about that, you know, earlier this fall.
We lean heavily on the borough. The borough has two fish experts, if you will. One is Sam Cotton, who sits on, what does Sam sit on, Board of Fish?
North Pacific Council.
North Pacific Council. He's well-versed in all of this. He also is paid by the Aleutians East Borough. He's one of our fish czars. And Ernie Weiss is the other. And then what's Glenn's organization?
The Saners.
The Saners have hired Denby Lloyd, who's well-known in the fishery business, looking out for their business. So there's some people a lot smarter about fisheries than I am working on that. And I know Sam, down in Seattle, talked about having, and I don't know if he's coming out to each community. I know he's been out here before. I don't know if he knows Sam. But he's talking about coming out and getting an educational, informational thing going from each community. A lot of these issues sometimes fits different gear, you know, seasons or who fishes what. The borough has to kind of walk a fine line as to what they support and what they don't support, but they're very good at detailing, you know, what puts the community or the fishery behind the eight ball. We don't, the city does not, and I will be the first to admit I'm not a fish, you know, I do not know fisheries. I'm relying on the borough's expertise.
And I think in the past what the city has done, the city has contributed to these meetings, they have contributed to it, and it's about the product in the area. It's not about one group of people. It's the city. It represents everybody in the community. So they're able to try. That's what we used to have the board. Remember, we had our advisory board, and that's how we represented ourselves at the meeting. So the city is not, it's supportive of that. Any way the city can support and help that out, I mean, the city is all for that. And Paul, he'll be there in town, and we'll have somebody from the city there when the meeting.
Paul, do you have anything to add to that on the fishery, on what Sam does for the borough? I mean, do you think we're covered there?
Well, Mr. Reagan, if I could answer his question, for instance, I think Mr. Cotton and Mr. Weiss had a meeting last night, and they're shipping out the WASP.
We just got it.
And I looked through it myself for one day, and there's nothing that looks that alarming in the WASP report. It's the consensus I've been hearing. But
there's nothing alarming? Is that what you said?
That alarming. I don't
that alarming, okay.
But I believe the borough is going to fund people to go. I assume the city will probably chip them a little bit too. I think that's a good idea.
See, Marisa? You guys have a board too, don't you? A fisheries board that you're working with the tribes? So that might be a good contact too.
Okay, well, we'll continue on with the lease agreement.
Any
other comments on the lease agreement? Hearing none. How about a motion to approve the lease agreement with the giving Paul the administrator authority direction to make the minor changes that need be, and any changes that are significant need to bring back to the council. Your motion.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
I'll second.
Okay, motion a second. Question, please.
Jack?
Yes.
Riet?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Ellen?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Motion passes, so we'll be this agreement.
Right on.
Okay.
Yeah.
All righty. We have new business, Chief's contract. Earlier in the workshop, as we know, the chief has been here temporarily filling this position. We have to extend his contract. He is going to be extended until we can fulfill that position, and we talked about that earlier in the workshop. So with the chief's consent and the information that was passed into the council, we'll be extending his contract. He's leaving on the 15th. He won't be coming back till January 7th, so that contract will start on the 1st of January and will continue until that position is filled. Not acceptable.
So there's no date put on it? Like a contract date?
The way it reads is it's open-ended because he's temporary until he finds a replacement. And we put a date on it, we would just keep extending it.
Yeah.
This might last 6 months or longer.
And then that way, is that what he wants? Yes? Okay.
At some point, he might come and say, I want the job full-time and get a temporary from under his name, or well, we'll renegotiate salary and stuff. But right now, we're just extending the original agreement that we made. And
this is what he's asked. I've talked to him before, and we've kind of come to a consensus that this is...
And he, the chief, his original contract, he has 30 days. Mm-hmm. If he's tired of Sandpoint or has a better offer or whatever, he gives us 30 days notice for the contract that he has that we are extending. He can move down the road. But it's open-ended and it states that until we find a replacement, he's going to be our acting chief.
Right.
Okay. It's open-ended. Right.
Any other comments? And then, okay, and then we have the administrator's contract. His contract is up due at the end of January in 2013, and I asked it to be on the agenda because I didn't want if this contract wasn't going to work, but I wanted time to at least advertise and get a new administrator in to replace him. But during the workshop, we've come to an agreement. The council has looked at it, and our intention is to further his contract on till the end of January 2014, unless otherwise I get some,
And we've talked about enthusiasm for the job, and I still have it. But I'm also 64 years old, and sometimes I'm going to do something else, I don't know what. But certainly I think we should start, maybe it's a year, two, three away, if you still want me, I'm still around. But at some point we should start transitioning. The city of King Cove has an assistant city manager. I think if Gary Hennigeller left, Bonnie Foltz, his assistant, would pretty much take over that job because she knows this. Maybe we should start looking at that in a year, getting someone to shadow me for 2 or 3 months. It's nobody's irreplaceable. I mean, anybody can do this job. Some will do it better, some will do it worse. But if you hire somebody, if I'm going to head out the door and there's enough notice, and I'll try to do that, certainly get somebody on board that can seamlessly take up the cause. And the causes are these big projects, the harbor, the road, keep pushing those down.
That is
Silver Bay.
That's kind of what I wanted to touch on, is that we're in the middle of a project. We have projects that are ongoing, projects that are going to be happening within the next year, the next 2 years. And it's very important that we keep on the same track that we're on. We're aggressively pursuing more monies. We have meetings in Juneau, and just to keep this projects in line, keep them towards completion. So if there's any point in time in this contract that he says, well, I need time to think about getting another assistant online, I'm going to be leaving. I know he said this is his last year. He's going to be through after this contract. So
there's a lot of ways to do it. Perhaps I go to halftime.
Yes.
And you take that money you save from me.
Right, and put it in.
Hire a lower paid assistant. Yes. You advertise and you say, this will be your new administrator when I'm out the door. Pretty cost effective, and also get somebody on board. There's a lot of ways to look at it.
Any comments? Any other comments? Okay, hearing none. Lucian, the Sandpoint Junior High basketball players' request for a donation. We discussed earlier in the workshop. They've asked for a iPad or a touch iPad.
iPod touch.
Yeah. too much for me. And the council has chosen to donate to the junior high basketball an iPad. So we need a motion.
I'll make a motion to donate an iPad for the junior high basketball group.
Second.
I second.
Motion and a second. Good question, please.
I got Rayette as the first, but who's the second? There was like two or three people. Alan? Okay. Danny?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes. Motion passes. Thank you. Public comments. Raymond?
When did you guys come to the conclusion of a dollar a year? And how did that come up on that lease for the first 5 years?
Paul?
Well, as I said, it's not uncommon to entice a business to come into Sandpoint, to entice a business to come into your community and give them a sweetheart deal the first few years to get them into the community.
A dollar? I mean...
Well, that's just the number that
could have been $100. I mean, it could have been, you know, dollar is just,
but that was
my mind.
the lease is written. If they don't show, if in 24 months, we talked about this a lot. If we don't entice somebody to come to Sandpoint, we keep chasing our. We've already passed the lease, but if we keep chasing our tail on things like that, we'll be sitting here in 2 or 3 years, and that'll still be a vacant piece of property.
Well, I don't have any complaints, but I'm paying $300 there a year for a locker here. And when I first got the locker, I never had it for a dollar a year.
But Raymond, the
nobody else did either.
There's a waiting list for that. There's not a waiting list to build a seafood plant at the harbor. That's the difference.
Raymond, you know, maybe I can help a little bit on you. I know when Snowpack came, and I'm sure you guys worked out the same lease agreement with Snowpack.
It was very similar, yeah.
So they did that before, but if you think about 2 years, and after 2 years, it's going to be a $50,000 a year rental fee is what they'll be charged. But in the 2 years, if you look at the contract said they have to spend $1 million. Yeah. If they don't, then the lease agreement is probably nullified. I mean, that's your option out. But if they do, the city will have $1 million of development in that harbor after the second year. And so if you look at that and you were to prorate that back, that's a considerable amount of money. So we have to look at what the future lays in store for the development of the harbor.
Well, yeah, I didn't understand that. Just that.
But you're right. That's a good question.
Here, it's just like the government. There's the middleman. He's paying the taxes. The rich man walking.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm paying $300. He's paying $1. Come on. Right. I mean, that's how I'm feeling at this point.
Right. And we're looking at the future investment of the company that it will impact.
Oh, yeah.
Us, you know.
They understand that. It's just that for the first 5 years, I mean, it's in the paperwork. You know, it's kind of.
And that's a good point. If you think about the business that are in the harbor, you know, Harbor Cafe, Fleet Welding. I mean, it does. That warrants a good question.
But I also think that when this place starts, even if the water and the sewer is there, the Silver Bay doesn't come in, if you have that there, that property is even more valuable with the water and sewer there to entice down the road. But I see it as a growth for this community that we need. And you're going to get more than the
$50,000. Right.
You're going to get the fish tax. And if there's any families, the school, it's just going to multiply. So there's a lot of good for that buck, I think.
Dave?
Okay, but in the meantime, since Silver Bay isn't in there, we still get to use the property for storage.
Yes.
Until the
yes.
day they start to move in to build.
Until they want us out of their way to build.
Yes.
We have a verbal agreement with Ron, with Rob Zwanich, that we can use that property. The city can
so
use
So we can still yeah. put pot storage yes. in charge for it and still actually accumulate a little bit of money from that property, correct?
Right.
myself, I would say in reality that we will be conducting business in the harbor until they start pouring footings in there, until they start laying up for whatever they're going to put in. So then we'll be going around that.
Even though we're paying a dollar a year, yeah, we're still going to be making money.
We'll still have that open front property for the docks, and I don't know how we're going to place it in place to put the building in place if they do come in.
Well, that's what the survey will show.
That's what the survey
will show. Where are your boundaries?
Yes, and so we're going to get that area surveyed plus another area surveyed out, so we'll know exactly where everything
goes. The other thing we should keep in mind, they have to spend $1 million. They're not going to spend $1 million in a week,
right?
It's going to take them a couple of years to spend $1 million, but that's a lot of money to invest in San Juan. If they don't spend that million, Raymond, they start paying us rent after 2 years.
Yeah.
And the other thing, and I understand what your point is, you're paying and they're not.
Yeah.
They're also going to bring in, I would assume, if they're serious about what they're proposing, and they approached us, we didn't chase them down, they want to come here. If they're serious, we're going to start seeing engineers and surveyors and professionals coming in on the Pan Air flight, staying at the hotel or the bed and breakfast, eating in the restaurants, start doing, because they got a lot of work to do to put a plan in this town. They're going to spend a lot of money, not all in San Juan, but, and if they don't, then either give us the property back in 2 years or start paying the rent.
Yeah.
Now, I understand your point, though, it's well paid.
Yeah, you just have to head back.
Right.
That's the way it feels.
Chief?
And there's a few others that
feel
the same way. They just don't want to just speak up, and I don't care, I will.
Thank you for that. You come anytime.
That's a good question, though. It is. Chief?
Take off my uniform and put on my citizen of San Juan hat.
Yes.
I see it a little bit differently, Raymond. I see it as, you know, it's very traditional. It's a symbol of good faith and business agreement to accept a dollar. And that's an investment not only, you know, by Silver Bay Seafoods, but it's an investment by the council and the city. And it's an investment into the well-being and the future of our economy and what we need for our kids. So it's, to me, much, much more than a dollar. Or it's much more than only a dollar.
That's a good point.
Plus, remember, they build whenever the lease is up, it's pretty much belong to the city of San Juan.
Right.
It's still...
They pay to tear it down, or we own it, one or the other. And they're not going to pay to tear it down. Why would they?
That's still city property. Any way you look at it, that's owned by the city. If not, even when they build their plant on there, it's still city property.
All of it is down there. It all
belongs
to the city, no matter what they build on it.
Right.
But I think we're going to see... I would assume in the next few months, I think as soon as the news gets out that we have approved Silver Bay coming in, we're going to see some articles in some fishery magazines. Because when's the last time economic of this size was, we keep trying to push, you know, snowpack, but that was just I call it a waltz. We did waltz with those guys for a long time. Nothing ever got too serious. I think Silver Bay is ready to spend their money. And
any other
good publicity?
Any other public comments?
No, just good job. Thank you.
All right. How about council comments? Any council comments?
I'm glad to see the police chief decided to stay anyway. I'm glad Paul's staying on for a while longer. Maybe we'll see the completion of some of these projects.
Thanks, John.
Good job. Maybe we'll. The other side of the coin is maybe on, you know, like we've discussed, you guys didn't bring it up, but I mean, something you may want to, you know, as mayor or administrators, that some of the business that will come to town, if Silver Bay comes, brings crews and stuff, the city makes taxes and stuff off the money they send and stuff. So, I mean, that's something we did talk about, not the way you put it, Raymond, I feel the way you said, I know what you're saying, but, you know, that's one of the other things that we talked about is the business that will generate, you know.
Thanks, Jack. Any other council comments?
I just want to thank you for accepting the position. We needed it. We really needed that change. And it's quite apparent in the community that it's a good change. I want to welcome you. I know I met you at the airport when you came in, but I've never had a chance to actually say, you know, welcome, and I'm glad you're doing a good job. And appreciate it. And appreciate all the public that comes to our meetings. whether on air or in person.
Thank you, Shirley.
I'd like to welcome Denise. This is our first formal meeting since Jade had her baby. Denise is filling in for Jade for another couple of months at least, probably. And I'm very impressed with the professionalism that she shows, the pizzas that she makes. But being a city clerk is not as easy as some people think, and she's picked up on the duties very quickly. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
I'd also like to make one comment. And I thought maybe this little transition period from coming in having the other clerk there, that there would be a stutter step in there, but it hasn't been. It hasn't changed city business or how we conduct business. It's been pretty much moving forward, so she is doing a good job.
Thank you, and please take some food home.
Any other comments from the council?
Thanks.
I was impressed with getting the call at 6 o'clock and getting my packet Friday night. That's dedication to the job. That's nice.
I know she was chasing the other council people now, but they weren't able to be found. They were probably either flying or working.
Oh, she found me.
Found me as soon as I left the plane.
Okay, motion to adjourn.
Second.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you for coming.